Here jamming out to the music and whatnot.
I want everybody to
show.
You're supposed to be like the lead vocalist in the group.
Are the party nerds back?
We're back, the party nerds.
Woo!
Are back.
We didn't have Darnell for 1 second. Everything went to shit.
We a whole different show right now.
My bad, y'all. My bad. We're back, party nerds. In the house. What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
It's April, man. What the fuck
it's
happened?
It's April, man. Yeah. Well, time is flying by. Yo, this year is really rolling.
Yeah, we got one more month till the shitstorm of movies comes out.
Yep.
And it can only get better from here, but we got a lot to talk about today.
We got 3 weeks.
We got a lot on the plate today. We're going to talk
about. Can I just say that I actually like it that you actually brought a physical notebook?
Ready Player One was that type of
my
movie.
Man, yes. Speaking of Ready Player One, that's what we're talking about tonight. Ready Player One, Tomb Raider, Krypton, Pacific Rim, and what other bullshit we can get into.
Talk about the bullshit first.
We will get to that bullshit.
Ready Player One is last.
To my left, we got the bearded one himself. Bravo.
What's up,
nice trim, I might add. Nice trim, sir.
Thank you. You're trimming it up. The hair's getting a little wild again. Summer's coming.
I'm trying, man.
You dumping your girl for summertime?
No.
That's how you do it, man. You dump your girl in the summer. Ooh. You know what I mean? Get a new girl by winter.
Nah, if anything, I'll probably be proposing soon, so.
Party nerds!
listen, you forced him to say that shit right? Because you fucking
son
up. He's about to get his ass whooped when he gets to the crib.
I'm going
to
marry her instead. I'm not going to break up with the barrier.
Bree, if you're listening, we're sorry.
You're welcome, Bree. You're welcome. And then we got my man across the table, Devin Wade.
Man.
Uh-oh.
I just want to talk about these movies that y'all think. Well, I didn't watch the one because everybody told me it was straight bowl.
Which one?
The fucking Pacific Rim. I heard it was straight rim job.
Yeah. Darnell liked it, so I didn't want to see it because I knew it had to be trash.
Darnell ain't like
Darnell also likes Batman versus Superman, so.
Exactly.
Yep. And then,
sorry, Darnell, nobody can hear you. You don't have a microphone.
And then we got my man James. Brother James, what's good?
Hey, man, everything is wonderful. I came here with footnotes and air quotes and anything that you want to antidote.
You was doing homework.
All that.
In the movie theater, too. This mug takes notes in a movie theater.
Hey, look, when you see it the second time around, I'm sorry. What I saw the first time, I was like, damn, I had to jot all this shit.
So, was you the annoying nigga with a flashlight on in the middle of the movie theater?
No, he straight up went in with a candle.
I had my phone out and I just used the light from the phone, man.
He was still that annoying nigga. Security!
I was. But you know what? I was by myself, sitting alone.
Oh, there you good. Then we got my man, Ed.
What up? What's going on, guys?
What's up, man? I didn't put AJ with you.
I know, right? Because we didn't know if he was going to be here.
The table. So we're going to just go work with Ed now.
What's going on, man?
Your boy Ed.
Your boy Ed is here. I actually got a video online on the Party Nerds YouTube channel of my reaction to Sonic Mania Adventures, which is a new animated series that just went up by Sega. If you guys are interested, go check it out on the Party Nerds page. Support Sega. Support everything that they're
does
doing.
Does Sonic still have one eye?
Yeah, he still has one eye.
He's only a 2D profile, yes.
Yes.
All right. It's legit.
And then we got AJ. We did it reversed. AJ and Ed. Now it's Ed and AJ.
So you see what had happened was I lost my keys. And long story short, I made it, though. It's cool.
How do you lose your keys?
Have you seen my room?
No.
Exactly.
No. You one of them brothers.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
All right, well, let's get into it. Stop of the list. We're going to start with Ready Player One. Let's just get this one out the way.
No, that's last.
That is the grand finale.
Yeah, that is the grand finale.
Nah,
fuck
let's
all
start
that.
With the best.
You trying to disrespect it, bro, by making it, you know what I mean? Like a boxer who ain't the main event walking out first.
Undercard.
Yeah, you never undercard. Let a nigga walk out first. Yeah,
start with the undercard
start
first.
Start with this Pacific Rim job.
Let's start with Pacific Rim.
Pacific shit.
So who saw that? I didn't see it because Darnell flagged it.
I wanted it to be good.
AJ had a hype.
AJ said it was going to be fire.
And in my defense, I said two movies are going to be fire: Pacific Rim and Ready Player One. I was right about one of them.
You were 0 for 2.
You didn't like it?
He said RPO was crap.
He
said RP1 was crap.
First off, you do know 50% is a F, right?
Depends
on which country you live in.
If I win the lottery 50% of the time, I don't care.
To quote our good friend, Blur Vision, they had one fucking job to do.
Yes, they did. And
they fucked that up. I mean, goddamn, the first movie was some monsters against some fucking robots. You didn't have to do much. There was no type of goddamn storyline that we had to go by. Idris Elba and Idris Elba's son, and a little bit of training happened, and then we go out there and kick some monsters ass.
And I thought that movie was subpar, and people attacked me.
I hadn't seen either because I just thought it was pretty much.
I like Del Toro, so I watch anything that man.
I just thought it was somebody got a hold of Michael Bay's journal and just went, "Yeah, this is what we're doing."
The second one was basically yes.
Well, the first one, I saw the first one. The first one was decent.
How was the first one? It was remarkable, right?
The first one was very solid.
No, that was very solid.
It was very good.
This nigga told me that the movie was A1 sauce. That this was salutable.
A1 sauce is terrible, man. If you get a good steak, you don't put A1 sauce
Only rich white people know that, man. A1 sauce was like some real good shit in our house.
So what was part two about?
I mean...
Oh, no, the monsters came back because the monsters were like real smart.
We're living in a postmodern world where the monsters have been defeated. Most of the comrades that have worked for this facility are now heroes and martyrs in some type of standby. But then, of course, a resurrection is now amongst us.
Yeah, pretty much. In the first movie, if you've seen it, you can pretty much sync with other people. That's how why it requires to move to pilot giant robot. They were like, yo, what if we sync our minds with one of the alien minds, or the monster minds? So they did that, and they were like, oh no, we found their weakness, and that's how they won the battle in the first one. But after he synced his mind, they actually stayed connected. So the monster was slowly infecting his mind and like making him do things he normally wouldn't do.
Sound like some Legion shit.
It seems like the shitty version of Ender's Game.
And then like that was kind of like the best part of the movie, in my opinion. It was a pretty cool twist that had a callback to the first one, and they brought it back in a meaningful way.
Right.
But they brought it back in like the last 30 minutes, and they had one giant robot fight between the robots and the monsters. So it was one, and it was weak. It wasn't nearly as good as any of the fights in the first one. The story had no heart. The first one had a stupid premise. Giant robots versus monsters, but it had like a little bit of heart.
But it owned up to it.
It owned up to it. It was a great action movie.
And there was at least five battles in the first one, where this one was like one big one at the end.
So I would look at the property destruction, because these giant robots and monsters, I mean, the monsters come out the ground in the middle of a city, and it's just buildings falling
through a dimension.
Down. So is it that much property damage that's going on in this?
Yes, it's Man of Steel property damage. Yes.
Yeah, like that entire city gets leveled. Granted, didn't they do the thing where they fought the buildings on the ground to minimize it? Like
they did that.
Safety measure built in.
Man of Steel didn't do that.
Yeah, because like they weren't planning for an alien attack. Like, this is a universe where they know giant monsters can come out any day now, so they have kind of those safeguards. So it's like Evangelion in that regard, too, where they have the buildings going to ground. But... long story short, this movie sucked.
Well, thank you. Thank you,
there
Darnell,
you have it, everybody.
$15.50 on the movie.
Did
you like this movie?
AJ just I want to point this out. AJ told two stories that he wanted to make very short. One was that he lost his keys, and one was the entire premise of Pacific Rim. That was the level AJ put it on.
And it sucks.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna remember that movie 3 years from now. You know what I'm gonna remember 3 years from now?
You're not.
That you lost your keys?
Yeah, absolutely right.
It was quite the jog over here.
Then let's move that train right along.
Is this the most authentic Lara Croft we've ever seen?
Okay. All right. I'm fresh from the theater on this.
Oh, word?
I want to hear Devin.
So compare her to Angelina Jolie, sir.
Angelina Jolie just look extra good. That's all that's
because her lips are bigger than her face?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. She was bad. That was all that was to it. I mean, the new chick is a younger Lara Croft, you know what I'm saying, on her first, little adventure or whatever the case may be. And, I think the movie, I'm going to just skip right to it. This movie was motherfucking plain Jane. This movie was a fucking peanut butter sandwich without the jelly. Like, it was
on the bread.
Yeah, half the crust taken off. I'm going to give it that much. So it's like,
Somebody got a little lazy. Fuck it, he don't deserve it. He's going to have half the crust.
Like, I think they could have speeded up the beginning.
Right. So that whole premise with the dad shit.
Yeah, like from the whole beginning.
Like the childhood.
Like, yeah, like I don't
it was
give
like
a fuck
Wonder
about
Woman getting
childhood.
Evolving.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck that. Okay, so this woman has this Bruce Wayne level company, all this bread she's supposed to inherit, mm-hmm. and she don't want to sign the paperwork because signing the paperwork would basically be her admitting to herself that her dad's dead. I don't give a fuck. Yo, if my dad goes missing or my mom goes missing, well, I love dearly both of them.
It don't you know sound like it, but
no,
proceed.
I'll proceed. If the motherfuckers got $20 billion and I do want to find them, how about I sign the papers so that I could get the $20 billion and then use the resources to go look for
them? On top of that, couldn't you also just make the argument of, oh, we found him. Here's papers. Sign it, and I'll put it right back to you.
Yeah, just like this shit is just fucking crazy. So she decides to be broke and just work odd jobs like delivering fucking. Like she was literally working for like Uber Eats or some shit, bro. Like, but on a bike. She was a fucking bike courier.
She was doing that Peter Parker move.
Getting beat up. She didn't even have the money to pay for like a dirty UFC gym where she was getting her ass whooped in there. So that just tells me whoever was beating her ass in there was a better Lord.
She picked Danny Rand's old dojo and shit.
Yeah, like, yo, this shit, it was that part was crazy. So when she went on this adventure, it kind of was a big leap. She didn't show
like the
that.
Whole fucking movie changed.
Yeah,
it was part
it was
two.
Like, she was literally like a regular girl and just was like, adventure, I'll do it. Wait a minute. I saw fucking mystery.
Wait a minute, so you're telling me you didn't see any of her backstory of in the backstory her training how she was a dope fighter adventurous.
I saw that
and,
the dad
that
was
stuff.
Showing her how to fucking shoot, but she still couldn't shoot an apple at fucking 15 years old. Now, nigga, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could learn that on your first fucking archery lesson if you put in the hours. What the fuck you mean? You supposed to do this shit? You're doing it to the point where you're fucking with the arrows by yourself. Your dad just walked up on you and said, oh, what you doing out here, honey? Shooting again? Still missing? The fuck? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't make any sense. So then she decides to go on this adventure, and she's like,
she would
win American Ninja Warrior right now.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Real. She's holding on to the right shit, jumping, guessing, floors busting open. I mean, it was dope.
And here's my problem with movies when the hero gets injured. Like, the injury she took when she fell with the parachute.
Oh,
through the
man.
Forest,
only on her face. She got one scratch.
But she had the stick stuck in her gut, right? Uh-huh. Like, just don't have the stick stuck in her gut, because now everything after that is still believable to me. Like when she's running and jumping,
she pulled the stick out. I didn't even see her stitch herself.
Right,
that's a scene directly out of the game.
It is out of game,
which is believable in the game because you have the suspension of disbelief. But in the movie, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
that's the problem. No. Movies based off video games.
My problem with it always is that whenever you make your character an everyman, like Devin was saying, she was just an ordinary random person, and then all of a sudden they're fucking ninja warriors. All of a sudden, it just the transition.
She did three Sparta races.
Yeah.
Come on, Bravo!
Yeah, right. Like, I'm sorry, the average human being isn't going to be able to do these things. We all understand that there's going to be some farsity in movies and stories and video games
they
and everything like
far.
That. But if you're going to show, oh man, I'm just a regular everyday person. Now watch me clear this 30-foot jump.
Yo, if she can do that right now, then by the time she's doing this shit for 10 years, there shouldn't even be a fucking stage that she can't destroy. Because like even the Asian dude, like so she basically, this shit is crazy. So she basically goes to sign the paperwork finally to own this business because the woman tells her, we're going to lose the company or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to lose your fortune, forfeit it, if you don't sign this paperwork, and we're going to lose the Croft Manor. So she decides to go up there. Now, this goofy-ass white-haired dude decides that he's going to pull this puzzle out before she signs the paper, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She grabs the puzzle, starts twisting the puzzle and shit, and instantly gets this fucking letter that pops out of it, and this starts the... She solves mysteries like motherfucking, like
some
Carmen
Sandiego
shit. And shit.
She's on another level with this. She's got autism. Like, that's how good she is at solving shit.
We're very sorry about that, by the way.
Listen,
Autism Awareness Month.
Somebody on our live Instagram feed says she ate the heart-shaped herb.
Where is she? The good part of fucking, of autism.
Oh, so that whole thing took place in Wakanda?
Yeah. Well, kinda.
Like, boy.
It was, yeah.
It was well, kind of. It was well, kind of.
So she goes to this fucking tomb and uses this key and opens it up, and it just takes her on this adventure where she finds out that 7 years ago, her dad was going to get this boat ride from this Asian man. So then she goes over there to find this Asian man and finds a boy with the same name, and it used to be his dad, or, you know, it's the dude's dad. And then this dude agrees to go on this adventure with her to a place where he thinks he's going to die anyway for 8 stacks. I don't understand how enough.
Not enough stacks.
Now, I don't know what this dude's fucking history is, but when he gets a machine gun in his hand, he's the best soldier of everybody
he's
in the whole
drunk,
fucking.
We know that.
Yeah, but why did he become?
Because
the
they
best
were fighting
soldier?
The foot.
Yeah. That's
which we know, that, which we know can't fight.
Yeah, we already know that. Trained soldiers for their entire lives? Nope. Put a gun in it. Put a weapon in a regular
now
person's
they
hand. They're going to kill 17.
He was shooting people like it was like he was excellent at shooting.
Like a straight marksman?
He was a super soldier.
He was an Army Ranger.
Well, her too with that bow and arrow running through later.
Oh, yeah, all of a sudden. She
run
was,
full
yeah.
speed with a bow and arrow.
She was on that Albert Queen shit right there.
Oh, that shit was killing me.
Yeah.
Come on, son. How you running at like 20 miles an hour, like with precision, with a bow and arrow
and
in
you
your
can't
hand.
Hit an apple.
Oh, yep. And you can't get an apple at 5? The footman training since they were kids.
Hold on. And she was so nice. This is what I didn't get. She was in that room with the bad guy leader at one point behind him with the bow and arrow. Like a shot that even we could make. Why didn't she just hit him in his head with that shit?
Do you, right it speaks volumes when we're arguing about something like this, but then when we watch Wonder Woman and she blocks a machine gun
right.
yeah. rowing down a row of people. Yeah. We have no problem with
that's
it because it makes
she's
sense.
A god.
But no, it makes sense. Right. It built yes. up and it explains why she can do it. And we've seen moments of weakness here and there
yeah.
and like
yeah, of course.
But it made sense for everything that she was able to do. Meanwhile, we're talking about
a normal human being.
Who
was a JV soccer player.
Yep.
That just literally
I don't know
could
about
do
y'all.
The long jump better than Olympic athletes.
Every time somebody ever tells me, yeah, I used to do a lot of sports in high school, they're always still in peak shape.
Right? Right. Yo, we got the lines open tonight. 856-457-8660. Call in, be part of the discussion when we sit on Ready Player One coming up. Yo,
wow.
No, we got Tomb Raider. Yeah, it's Tomb Raider.
That's not a teaser right there.
Yo, listen, man.
Relax.
Look, this is what I think. I think video game movies
yep.
need to fucking either quit, need to stop, literally. Pass
or just
along.
Do the whole thing in CGI?
Listen. Here we go. I don't know about the CGI. I haven't figured it out. This is for some genius to figure out. I think video games need their own genre movie that still lets you know that they're in a video game. Just put it towards... I don't give a fuck if I have to see an energy
don't make
life.
Them human beings.
I don't care if I have to see an energy life bar and it's just cheesy.
Do you know what I think the biggest problem is? The people who make the video games and the people that make the movie are two different companies. That's what the problem right. is.
That's part of it. But the other thing is, like, you play a video game and you're playing that video game for, like, you know, 8 to 12 to, like, you know, 36 plus hours depending on
right.
the game. And then you try to condense that down to, like, 2 hours,
two
maybe
hours,
even
yeah.
an hour and a half, depending
yep,
on the game.
I told your brother that in the car.
Yeah.
And then that you miss out so much in the middle ground, and then they cut out so much content, and it's...
I feel you can still do it well with a couple things. Like Last of Us, you could make that into a 2.5 hour movie.
It'll be trash.
I don't say no,
it'll be
you
trash.
Cannot.
And like, I told him, I said, now imagine them trying to make Horizon Zero Dawn a movie.
That you couldn't do.
Even if that'd it was 3 hours, it would be trash.
Like, so this is what you do with things like that. You make a Horizon Zero Dawn movie, but you don't. You make it take place in the same game universe. Maybe tell like, the story of someone
years.
Else. You know, like that's how
that's,
you do it. You make
cool.
a video game movie that takes place in the video game
Yo,
universe,
man.
But
you
build the story around the movie.
But
you don't try to adapt the game.
But how about
work?
You do what Marvel has done? You bring the people in that know this material inside and
agree.
Out.
No, no,
it's
this
different.
Is different
no, no.
too.
It's way, I'll explain. No. It's way different because, in essence, when you're writing a video game script, you're writing out every detail to its minutia, whereas with a movie, you have a smaller condensed time frame where you can't really do a lot of emotions, and there's definitely quick, like almost like hard pans to different other characters that need shine. When you normally in a video game, you can move the camera around to see the world. In a movie, you can't do that.
Them Injustice storylines, dog,
yeah, dope.
We got a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's your name?
I'm John.
John, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
What's up, John? What you want to talk about tonight?
I want to talk about how Ready Player One was fantastic over all of these movies that you're talking about.
No, listen, okay, you're, love you. Okay. You're very correct, sir.
John, John, we're going to jump right into Ready Player One since you're leading the charge here.
I did enjoy the Tomb Raider movie because I'm a huge fan of the original ones. I do think that a Horizon Zero Dawn movie, I think it would more focus on the father or the teacher storyline more than Aloy herself because it'd kind of be like a prequel.
Agreed.
Yes, absolutely.
That would be a good call.
So what did you love about Ready Player One? Give me three things you loved about this movie.
The credits.
I'm a huge, huge fan of the book by Ernest Cline.
Then how in the world did you like it?
The book. Go on. Hold on. Book is one.
Hold on. You just made. Sorry, you just made. Listen. You just made Bravo jump out of seat. He looked like he was about to dookie on himself.
But go ahead. You can keep going.
I just dig the aesthetic. Just seeing the entire world of the Oasis on screen just it brought joy to my heart. And seeing all of my favorite video game characters like Tracer from Overwatch and the Marine from Halo, just seeing them on screen was just a joy to watch. And like the changes from the book, like the first key, for example, how it being a race, I just felt that to be so exhilarating and just being a very well done change from its source material.
So what's number two? What's the second thing you loved about it?
He just named like three things. He just doesn't want to admit that this movie is dope.
I'm trying to give the man his time.
Go ahead, man. You got it.
Let's see. Second thing I did was also the soundtrack, which is obviously composed or just like.
I'll admit
I just
that.
I felt like it was.
Hearing
We're Not Going to Take It Anymore over that final battle.
Right? Agreed.
Easily one of the highlights of the movie.
That was dope. That was dope. That was dope. And what's number three? Give me the third one.
He's got more.
The third one is how it took like a lot of like the really terrible stuff from the book, like having after the dancing with Wade stalking Artemis. I felt like if they had that scene in the movie, it would have made Wade so much unlikable and really it was just one of the worst parts of the book, which made me not like him in the book, but in the movie, seeing him dance to Saturday Night Fever made me grow as their relationship was stronger.
You're a real one. You're one of the best callers we ever had.
Yo, bless.
John's called a couple times, right, John? If I recall, I remember your voice.
Yeah, I've called. Yeah.
I remember this. I remember Devin
shitting on you and hanging up on you, too.
I don't know what I like, Devin.
Now you like him. You bang on him every time he calls, Devin.
I don't remember that.
All right. So carrying off of what John said, there are a few things that that I did enjoy about the movie. I think as a movie, it was bad.
Yes.
I did.
100%.
I actually agree with John that some of the creative liberties that they took, for those that didn't read
because
the book,
of the modern shit?
No, not even just that. For those that didn't read the book, Og, the great and powerful Og, actually played an extremely vital part in the story. And they removed him, but it didn't affect it in a negative way. So I actually really liked what they did with Og, how they made him the curator and everything. Because the whole museum thing, that didn't exist in the book. It didn't. It was just that that Parzival was so versed on the creator so much that he was our wealth of knowledge, but all Gunters were, and you got to see a little bit more lore of the Gunter. My problem with it wasn't the action scene, seeing all these people, and that they modernized it. I actually really enjoyed that. I liked a lot of the creative liberties that they took. I do disagree about the race thing being the first.
So for the people who haven't read the book, what was the first challenge in the book?
So the very first challenge, and the reason why it makes it so bad is because the first challenge has to do with him figuring out that. So first off, no one has even figured out what the challenge is in those years. No one has figured it out. You're telling me there's a race that goes on every fucking day and no one has figured it out in years? Come on, man. Have you ever seen anybody play Destiny? Everybody's figured out all of these secrets in like 2 months. But what he figured out was there was a huge maze. It was based off of a D&D level, was hidden on a school planet. Like he said, there are planets designated to everything. Well, people use the Oasis to go to school. Because a lot of people lived like they did in the stacks. That was a worldwide problem. There was a huge economy problem, and which was a big deal for him winning $1 trillion. So this thing was hidden somewhere where everyone, no matter who they were, even if they had no money, could access it. They even talked about how, oh, if you're poor, like if you die in your game, you start back out at zero. If you start back at zero, you don't have a car, so you can't take part in that race. That's what I had a problem with it. The race was exciting. It was a lot of fun, but it showed somebody start from zero and become the god of this digital world and why he became so popular and everything like that. One of the biggest things I hated was he meets a girl. They have a 10-minute conversation. We're in love. What?
No, he was in love, not her.
That's
so was she.
Hold on.
Offensive care unit says, what about Call of Duty zombies? Please, your argument is invalid. What does he mean by that?
I mean, there was probably some Call of Duty zombies. Like, I didn't catch all the cameos.
Yeah.
But whole Fall in Love shit, that's a Spielberg thing. You know that's right, a Spielberg thing.
And that's what I had a problem with. The whole thing is like, listen, just like it does with a lot of these romance movies, a lot of nerd romance movies ends with
kid
symbol
friendly
kiss.
Romance
it,
movie.
Right. He's still a high school student. It ends with a kiss.
Yeah.
All right. They went out on a date. They were dancing, super intimate, touching each other, like real gropey ways.
Like third base.
And, exactly. She straight up crawled up his crotch. And now it's, I'm afraid to kiss her. You're afraid to kiss her. Girl just fucking crawled all over your dick.
A digital girl did that.
We got another caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hey, what's your name?
Hey, I'm Justin.
Justin, where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
So what did you think? What do you want to talk about tonight? Ready Player One?
So I have read the book of Ready Player One. I have read it twice. And I went and saw the movie, and I like the book. I don't think it's like a masterpiece or whatever, but I really enjoy the book.
Agreed. There were a lot of parts that couldn't carry
more.
Over.
I think Spielberg knows how to turn a book into a movie. I think he knows how to take out the bad stuff, put in the good, keep in the good stuff, and add new things that just make it so good. I loved what they did with the keys. I heard what you were saying before, the way you argued. Yes, my one little gripe was the fact that it took them 5 years to go backwards.
Yes.
That I understand. But I think thematically, what they did with the challenges worked so much better in a movie. It was much more exciting, and it was felt much more important to the narrative. Like, that second key, the Shining scene, oh my God, that was incredible.
I agree. That was a lot better, because for those that didn't read the book, to catch you guys all up, the way that they did the second key would not have translated well in a movie at all. It wouldn't have been entertaining at all.
So, yeah, it would not have.
What was the second key?
It was,
and also that final battle was incredible.
Having to quote everything. You had to play the main character in a movie and not get any scene wrong. Oh. Any line wrong.
Yeah, that would have been difficult to do.
Yeah, it wasn't even something like The Shining.
Matthew Broderick and War Games.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It would not have translated well at all. I'm actually really happy with The Shining scene.
That's cool. Justin, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
Well, let him
Wait, hold on. He's got one more. Go ahead, man.
You're welcome.
Go ahead, Justin.
Oh, so also, I thought that one of the things that I hated in the book was Artemis and Wade's relationship in the book. I felt like the moral of the story was like, oh, the Easter egg wasn't the prize, it was the girl. Like I thought that was a little
sexist. Man, that's the way Spielberg gets girls to the movie. That's Spielberg trying to get girls to watch the movie.
The way they changed it for the movie was much better. I thought Artemis was a much better character. All the female characters in general were much better in the,
I disagree.
I bet you don't disagree.
Well, no, because I feel the exact opposite, actually. I feel that the movie actually said it more that real life was the prize and that having a relationship was the prize more so than it did in the book. In the book, everything.
Are you contradicting yourself?
No.
I'm about to say, because she did crawl all over his crotch. You do understand that.
Right. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that what he said was, in the book, Justin felt that the grand prize was Artemis and getting a relationship.
Yes.
I feel in the movie they exemplified that way more than they did in the book, because at the end of it, it was, oh yeah, like we're living in the real world and he's kissing her like while they're making out and everything like that. It wasn't like that in the book. Like they, the entire thing
right.
was about the hunt. And yes, the relationship built and everything like that, mm-hmm. but I feel it was a lot worse in the movie, and that it was seen as the grand prize right. more than it was in the book.
We got another caller on the line. Caller.
Thank you, Justin and John.
Thank you, Johnson. I called him Johnson.
I was going to say,
Justin.
What the fuck?
Wait, hold on. Justin and Johnson.
Do we have a caller on the line?
Yeah, hey, guys.
What's your name?
Alex from Second Rounds NYC.
All right. Okay. Hey, all right. What's up, dope, dope, dope. What's up, Alex?
Got your windshield wipers on, son.
Hey. What's up? In terms of the movie, Ready Player One, I'm also one of those that read the book first, and this is one of the first movies where I actually read the book first. And I got to say, the movie did something's good, and the book just did something's better. Like, in terms of the overall themes, I think especially when it came to Artemis, her motivations were much clearer in the movie. In the book. The book was just, like you said, all about the hunt. She just wanted to be the top dog. While in the movie, she was the one to tell Parzival, no, this is more than just a game. There's like real world consequences.
Right.
So, however, the book showed those real world consequences more. It showed how they, one thing they didn't show in the movie is that these kids went to school in the Oasis. Like, economy was solely based on the Oasis itself.
Correct.
So I think that's why the movie, to me, didn't relay why, how bad it was if IOI actually got control of the Oasis. But overall, to me, the movie was beautiful. That CGI was impeccable. Spielberg did his thing, but
message-wise,
I think the book still held on better.
I still feel he agrees with me.
No, he doesn't. He agrees more with us.
Rob, I'm confused. Did you like the movie or did you not like the movie?
He agrees more with us.
I was entertained by the movie. I think as far as a movie goes, it's the same way when we first saw X-Men. We're
so just saying
happy.
A chance.
No, right. We're just happy that
hey,
it
Alex,
exists.
Thanks for the call,
but
too. We
in
appreciate
a little
it,
bit
man.
While,
thank you, brother.
We're gonna look back and go,
no problem.
Yeah, it wasn't a good
movie. All right, I'm gonna tell you what bust this real quick.
All I gotta say is this. Don't let your dicks get hard because you got your nostalgic
oh, no,
on.
No, no, hey, hold on.
Everything
hey,
got
whoa, whoa,
hold on.
No,
all the stuff you saw, was visually, yes, the movie was
great. He's the king of distractions.
All that stuff was great. I can't die. The final battle scene, dope. I get it. But the movie was not a great movie.
The movie was phenomenal.
It
this
was
is what
not
the movie,
phenomenal.
This is what the
don't
movie,
use that word.
Wait.
The movie took place in a video game.
Yeah.
The video game's graphics was bananas.
Top notch.
Right.
100%.
Camera angles, everything. Fire.
Yep.
The motivation. $1 trillion. Who don't want that?
Yeah.
You know, $1 trillion. That's yep. We get souped on a Powerball.
We're all fighting.
When that shit hits that 180, you know what I'm saying? A billion, you know what I mean? A million. Yo, we talking about $1 trillion and... My young boy, I went to the movies. All right, so this was happens. My young man, he gets his report card. He's on punishment. Needless to say.
Again?
Yes. So,
come on, man.
He's
can't
on punishment,
be doing that.
But I already bought him a ticket to see Ready Player One. So I decided I got to be a good father figure. He's not going. I go to see the movie. Within 10 minutes, I feel guilty. I'm like, if he saw this shit, he would jump into puberty and nut on himself probably. So, therefore, we watch the movie. His mom feels guilty about it and everything. So she tells me, like, I'm going to take him to see this movie. Number one, it speaks volumes because she hates everything nerdy. And she somehow wants to take him to see it. That means she has to watch it twice. And she's real excited about going back to this shit. She's not from the 80s time period because I'm 8 years her elder. So she doesn't know what the Battletoads are. None of this shit. He goes and sees the movie. Before this, he saw Black Panther and he thought Black Panther was like the greatest shit he ever saw.
Don't you dare compare this to
Black
Panther.
This is all I'm going to say.
Blasphemous.
He says, this is the best movie I ever saw in my life. It's better than Black Panther.
What the fuck?
Now, mind you, he's a 10-year-old kid. He's just speaking from with no nostalgia.
Sight. Right.
With
it's
no
sight.
Nostalgia.
It's Spielberg,
he's
man.
Just thinking about
that's
how
what I'm
he betrayed,
this is what
how,
I'm saying.
How they portrayed
a kid going into a video game world, what the stakes were, the extra life, everything about it that he loves about video games, he said, it's the best thing I ever saw in my life.
This is the game, this is the movie that speaks to multiple generations.
Exactly.
You have the you have the 80s kids who grew up.
That's why he's the king of distraction. Shit.
You have the 80s kids who grew up on the references, also the 90s as well. But then you also have those in the 2000s, like who are of a younger generation, who are looking at these video games as like the biggest medium outside of movies, outside of music, outside of everything else. And to basically, almost like a Wreck-It Ralph was a couple of years ago.
Yes, with the video game characters.
To have all these universes all in one was a sight to behold back in those days. Now looking at it on a grander scale,
like
Ready Player One, and to have a big director that we grew up on with Steven Spielberg helming it, it just shows a lot more love than what
they
could have done.
Now imagine if on a real game, I don't know if there's any game that does this, but imagine you're playing the game. And through playing the game, you could actually get the credits, not in physical money, but to buy real things for the system.
Right.
Like, you know,
Blizzard is the king of that.
Because it's Bitcoin. It's basically Bitcoin so it's like, without, for your video
without,
game.
Without putting any money in it, it's just like, I'm doing so well at the game that I could get the vest where you feel it. Where you feel it. Yo, like, he watched that shit and he really was like, I just want to be in this world.
See, I think movie premise, they did a fine job explaining it, but so that you guys understand how big the Oasis was in that world.
Well, it was so big that the nostalgia was endless.
Not big in that way. Big in the sense of what it played in the real world.
It was
they legitimately
universe.
Had to have two different governing bodies.
Mm-hmm.
People for digital
and
people for the real world. And ironically, Will Wheaton was the president of the digital world.
This is true.
That's dope.
This is true.
That's true.
Nah, that's really live to me.
But like I said, I feel going in, I was very entertained. I'm not disputing that. And I agree. That ending battle scene was hands down one of the most exciting battle scenes I've
seen. Because everybody and their mother was in it.
Yes.
But as far as storytelling, movie going, everything like that, it was awful.
It wasn't awful.
The character development.
Awful.
Let me ask you a question. Why didn't he shoot Parzival?
Because the movie would have been.
Why didn't he shoot Parzival? He had no love for the game whatsoever. So why would he be in awe when he's seeing a guy go like this? Ah, and he's there. He just threatened a group of people who were all angry at him with a gun. He went for the sole purpose to kill these people. He told people to kill him. He was going to kill him.
If he would have killed them, then what would have happened? He'd have been in jail for murder.
He's going to jail anyway.
Not for murder.
Yeah.
We don't know.
But see, that's
he's
the thing.
White.
But here's the thing. He didn't stop. But stop. He didn't stop.
He's going to have a cooking show with Martha Stewart in 5 years.
But look, he didn't stop because he went, oh, I'm afraid of the consequences. He stopped because he was in awe of him holding the egg. Meanwhile,
it shouldn't be glowing in real life anyway. What was he seeing? He wasn't seeing anything.
But even so,
exactly.
That part was dumb.
It makes no sense why the villain would stop killing him. It would make no sense why a girl who talked to somebody online for 5 seconds went, you know what? We're in love. It makes no sense.
No. Listen. What you're saying, these things right here, though, are like literally like small pieces that they fucked up and could have fixed. These are not like big storyline problems.
Like
Can we talk about how the architecture of the stacks doesn't work?
Well, it didn't make
If favelas in Brazil do the same shit, it can work.
That is true.
If favelas in Brazil do it like that, that shit can work.
Stop watching that, Pat.
It looks wonderful. It looks dope. It looks like a junkie on planet. It looks fire. And I like the way in the fighting scenes, there was shit that they would do, like when the Gundam was fighting against the Iron Giant.
Gundam showed up?
They were like fucking Megatron versus Versus.
Were you happy when Gundam showed up?
I was really happy because you guys don't understand.
I was
that like the robots were actually a prize in one of the previous key things, and it was actually that Sorrento got his pick first, and that's why he had Mechagodzilla, and Parzival picked. You guys aren't even going to recognize this.
Supaita Man,
who was the Japanese Spider-Man who had a gigantic mech. Supaita Man.
We got another caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
But I was really worried about licensing and stuff like that, so I was happy with what they did.
I got your licensing.
Are you there, caller?
It's over for him. So look, when they was fighting, it was like Megatron versus Optimus Prime in the movie. Yeah. Some of the exact moments with the pink lightsaber and everything. When he gave the thumbs up. And went into the
T2 moment.
But here's another plot problem with it. Sorrento dies. He didn't zero out. He comes back with the same fucking weapon he had before.
Word. Yeah, that got by catalyst. You too, right?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Remember, you zero out. You lose all your credits. So it's not like he went, oh, fuck it. Put credits back in. No, he lost all his credits. And then he bought the catalyst. And then he still had the catalyst for some reason.
So you don't think they have, like, bank systems?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's Bitcoin, baby.
But here's the thing. In the movie, they didn't say that. They said you lose all your items. They didn't say you can store it away, you can bank it.
But people were dying in a race car crash and coming back.
But exactly. Right. But they didn't say that.
Oh, man,
That means there'll be a Ready Player 2?
No. Also, think about it like this. What were most of the racers? IOI, right? They would have a bigger influence in the game. So that's how they might be able to respawn with all the with everything that they left behind when they should have zeroed out. IOI would have some kind of stake in that.
Only video game guys would know that shit.
Man, shut the fuck up with that bullshit.
They definitely got a banking system. But that would just be all around dumb.
That's the thing is... There are so many, as far as entertainment was, I was fully entertained. If it came on, I would watch it again.
There was a lot of that.
But the movie
For the
itself,
sake of movies, there was just shit in there. Come on, man.
Yo, tell him, son. Look, tell him. Yo, tell him, kid.
Look, look. Marvin the Martian showed up.
Oh, shit, son.
RoboCop. Delta, what? The Delta Money? City Shine. Uh-oh. And the ED-209 for RoboCop 2.
Shit.
Was in there. Holiday got buried in Spock's coffin from Wrath of Khan.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Yes.
What else? Jason, tell him, son.
Jason Voorhees showed up in Planet Doom.
Did he?
And got shot up.
Hold on.
Got
Freddy
shot
Kruger.
The fuck up.
Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger got shot the fuck up, too. Shook him, got shot the fuck up.
Pinhead.
Yo, in the racing car scenes, the 66 Batmobile was in there.
Yeah, damn.
Ace DeLorean. Chemicals was in there.
Yep.
That Lex Luthor quote, did anybody get that?
I ain't peeping.
Some people read War and Peace and think it's a simple adventure. Gum. And he was like, other people read the ingredients on a chewing gum wrapper and unlock the secrets of the universe. Deathstroke was in it.
Yep.
Harley Quinn and the Joker.
Yes.
Yeah, the Halo MA5B assault rifle.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you see the shit?
When I saw
I was looking
numbers.
At the guns.
When Parzival threw the Hadouken at the end.
When he did the Hadouken at the end.
Hold on. Did you feel the Hadouken coming?
No. It was like physical strength.
They started fighting. It was like, wait a minute.
No.
He started going to...
But again, another problem.
That means Parzival was able to do all of that stuff in real life.
No, that's the point about
the kick flips and everything
the,
like
he
that.
He was physical strength.
He was also suspended.
No, he was able to do physical feet.
That makes a difference.
He was only suspended in a truck, not in his little pod apartment place.
Correct. Right.
He was suspended there.
We don't know how the fucking controls work on the game. I got virtual reality at the crib. All I got to do is be able to go like this, and it'll do some ill shit.
Yeah. I got
that shit.
We got another caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hey, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Elijah Robertson, and I'm from California.
Okay, Elijah. All right, yeah. Alley Coast, y'all. West, y'all. So what'd you think of the movie, Elijah?
He agrees with Bravo.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, what'd you think of Ready Player One? Any specific thoughts you had?
I haven't seen it yet, and I'm extremely upset that I haven't.
Oh,
you're upset that you haven't.
1550, bro.
Nah, go watch it, bro. What are you calling about, bro?
No, it's worth seeing. Well, hold on.
I wanted to ask you guys, who, in your opinion, who do you guys think is going to die in Infinity War?
Oh, shit.
We are going to touch on some Ask Us Anything right, soon from some of our listeners. Let's start with this. Go ahead.
AJ.
Captain America is not going to die.
He is going to die.
He's not going to die.
He's
not in Infinity War.
He is going to die in the next movie.
Yes, sir. There you go.
They're going to fake kill Tony Stark.
I agree with that.
And we're going to find out he's alive in the post-credits sequence featuring Nick Fury and Hawkeye.
God damn it!
And then...
What the...
Why do you have a scene played out? And then they're going to be like, yo, I'm sorry. We had to hide you. We had to make sure we don't know who to trust. What do you mean you don't know who to trust?
Like Nick Fury in Civil War? The same deal?
We have an invasion going on.
Yo.
Secret Wars. The Scrolls.
Because
you don't know who to trust.
Hold on. Two things. One, did you see the movie in advance or something? Something you don't know about?
Don't worry about it.
Because here's the thing. They said that they were going to have Robert Downey Jr. come back and replace Stan Lee as the cameo thing.
Yes,
up until they said that, I was saying, Iron Man's going to be the one to die because everybody's going to be so focused on Captain America dying. I guarantee he's going to sacrifice himself as he keeps doing. And I agree with AJ. They're going to have fake death, and they're going to build up to Secret War.
So so basically, this death that we're talking about for Infinity War is going to be a fake death? Like, nobody's actually going to
die? Someone's actually going to die. Okay, that's what I'm trying to die.
Well, then where do all the flashbacks come into mind for Avengers 4? Because they're going to utilize that. Like, most of Avengers 4 is going to be a flashback scene, though.
That's not confirmed whatsoever. That's not confirmed.
But Avengers 4 also is going to be mainly focusing on Infinity War still.
Pretty much. Did you also see that there might have been a leaked name for that movie as well? It's called Avengers Disassembled.
Don't fall for that.
Man, that's April Fool's like a motherfucker.
This was way before April Fool's.
Man, fuck all that. All
right.
I feel like anyone could have made that up, made a convincing thing, and just been like, yeah. Well, maybe.
I forget who it was. Somebody showed a tweet, and it said, I feel like they're not showing us the name because it's a major, major spoiler. And the guy who's in charge of all of them went, yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, I'm with AJ. I think AJ's spot on.
Damn.
Everything he
said. You're on AJ nuts right now.
Right now, they salty and everything, but yes, I'm chips, and AJ is spot on.
Smelling like full court basketball.
I said you was on them, not tasting them.
He was on that Artemis life.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I'm with the young boy on this. AJ, I'm riding
with you on this. Read a script in Florida or something like that.
AJ, those are very, you sound convincing to the motherfucker.
I'm going to make one other bold statement. There is going to be several very, very, very major plot elements that hasn't even been mentioned in any of the trailers. We're going to go into this movie expecting, like, oh, at first Thanos is going to come to Earth, they're going to realize it, and they're going to try to stop him as he slowly gets on Infinity Wars. I feel like there's going to be, like, a completely other, like, subplot that's very important that we don't know.
How long did it last until we found out about the Black Order? Nobody's even talking about the Black Order.
Right.
And, like, they're going to be such a major part.
Black Dwarf.
They changed his name to Black Dwarf.
Super Giant, the Black Dwarf.
No. They're calling him the Obsidian Cult. What the Black Order calls themselves, they're changing Super Giant's name to...
Did anybody see Proxima Midnight in Ready Player One? The only Marvel character that showed up?
Oh, I didn't even know there was any Marvel.
No,
I did not see it. It was the only Marvel character that showed up in the movie. And it just happened to be Proxima.
You got that off of two viewings of this movie?
Goddamn right.
Damn, the second time, nigga was cheating. He was definitely cheating.
Yo, second time, I wasn't even really paying attention to the movie.
Unless you went in the booth where they got the actual shit where you can press ball.
Proxima was in it.
And rewind that shit and everything.
Yo, the first battle scene is literally a skinny ass lady with a fucking headdress. And I was like, yo, that's Proxima. What the fuck?
All right, we got one last caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hey, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Andrew Munoz, San Bernardino.
San Bernardino, West, y'all.
What you want to talk about tonight, man?
What did you think about the end battle scene of Ready Player One?
One of the best end scenes in a CGI satisfaction. Yes.
It was nothing but satisfaction, that last fight.
That's who was fired.
Have you ever seen a dude jump out of the Serenity spaceship from Firefly, transform into a giant Gundam, and then team up with the Iron Giant to fight Mechagodzilla? Nah! With a multi-million-dollar budget, my nigga.
Yeah!
Directed by Steven Spielberg.
Holy shit!
I was so hyped. So hyped.
Why does it sound like the Church of AJ just opened up? And a praise be to Jesus. Gundam came down on the...
Yo, Carl, I think you set AJ off. I'm sorry.
Wow, AJ.
Bravo has no words. I have no words.
I'm still laughing about what James said.
The Church of AJ.
I thought Gundam came down.
Shine down upon thee. And T2 raised his thumb from up and beneath the lava. Yes, Lord Jesus, praise God Almighty.
Yeah, I got to admit that final scene was ridiculous. It was. That was dope. I mean, look, like I said, the movie's great. Especially if you grew up in that time period, it's just nostalgic heaven to see it everything.
How you think
there.
They got that licensing off? You think that was like people saying, you know what? I don't want my character left behind. I'll sign off.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
Because that shit looked like this movie looks so expensive, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Let's just say that.
And it costs like $200 million.
Snuck up on everybody too. It was like, all right, here's a trailer, Ready Player One. Like, what?
Well, guess
y'all,
what?
Y'all shot the movie already? Y'all got the trailer?
Guess what, dog? My young bull, he's on punishment, so I'm going to be playing with that fucking PlayStation VR again. Starting tonight, baby.
You're going into your own Oasis?
Oh, man, you know, I was already hooked for at one time. Then he got his shit together and got it back. But now I'm back, baby.
So I will say this one thing about the film. Not that it's actually a critique on the film, but like, A, it was marketed poorly, in my opinion.
It was.
It could have done a lot
with
more
with all
marketing.
The fucking shit in it. Yes.
Yeah, like compared to like the marketing of Ready Player One to like.
Well, look, if
Black
you're
going
to throw a lot of references in there, especially with marketing, you would have had to pay those companies royalties as well, which is why you couldn't use them in commercials.
Right. I was thinking I was going to go get a Mad Ball after seeing the movie.
So on one hand, they could have advertised a little better, but on the other hand, since they didn't too much. It was a genuine surprise when I saw it.
Yeah,
it
felt. Yeah.
Like when I saw the gun, I was like, "Oh no!"
Why would Battletoads be in there? It was like, I don't know if you know Battletoads.
I know Battletoads.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you're so young.
Battletoads absolutely should be in there.
No. I'm saying no. Battletoads. Only certain people know Battletoads, though, bro. Like, I'm of an older age, and usually it's us. We grew up playing Battletoads. I'm there. My girl doesn't know what Battletoads is, and she grew up playing video games.
It's like he had a CGI team, like, and he was like, "Yo, throw me some ideas. Come on."
Yeah, like
with
to
it.
See Battletoads, but like done on like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles level, it's like holy shit! Like,
so I got one question though. After seeing the movie, and you loved the movie, phenomenal as you called it, and everything like that, would that make you read the book? Because the book's got to be so much better.
Not from some of the callers,
right? But usually the book is so much better than a movie. Bravo, is the book better than the movie?
I don't think Devin would like the book better than the movie. I think. Entertainment wise, the movie did a good job carrying his attention more than the book would. I think the book did a better job with plot and character development. But I think if you see the movie first, it ruins the book. I think if you read the book first.
Why?
Because you're going to compare it to everything.
Well, Jamie agrees with you. She says that the book is amazing.
The book is amazing. But I feel that if you see the movie first, it'll ruin the book because there are so many parts that you're going to be comparing it to.
You're going to take out parts from the movie.
And you're going to think high adrenaline moment here where it's character development here. Right. And you're like, this is boring.
Yeah, like
I got you.
As far as storytelling and everything like that, I think it was much better done in the book. I still recommend people read the book. I just don't know if seeing the movie first is going to ruin the book for you.
That's a good point. Ed, what you got for us?
So we on our Instagram page at The Party Nerds, we put up an Ask Us Anything before the show went live. So I'm going to read off a couple of fan questions for all of us here on the panel.
7 inches.
Pony underscore boy 281 asks, do you think Thanos will die, be temporarily contained, or get away?
Nope, because the man is he's emotionally unstable.
He'll kill himself.
And literally in Infinity Gauntlet, when he realizes that he's not going to get his way, he'll probably either do himself in or he'll crumble into a ball.
I think they're going to mix the ending of when he got the Cosmic Cube.
Yes.
I think that's what they're going to go with.
Because literally in the comics, the man is, he's a tortured being from a little kid to a teenager. He's literally.
But this is the movie, so the movie's a little bit
but
different.
But I still think that, because they keep going back to those flashback scenes of him on Titan and taking over races. Because
Titan got destroyed. His whole thing is his planet got destroyed.
You know why his planet got destroyed? Because of him.
Right. But so
because he was the one that didn't look like everybody else. He's a deviant.
In the comic? Or the movie.
In the comic.
Right. The movie's different. That's what I'm saying. The movie's a
different
premise.
We don't know what they're
going
to take or leave from the comics, to be fair.
I think he's going to go away. He's just going to go away.
Okay.
That's it.
I don't think they're going to kill him off.
I don't think they're going to kill him.
He's either going to get captured or something like that.
Most likely get away.
Or I feel like he'll get away.
At the end of the movie, they're going to do some wild shit with the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like, not a reset, but it's going to lead into like, you know, Ant-Man and Wasp. Because think about it this way. Captain Marvel is a prequel. It takes place
Ant-Man
in the
90s. Ant-Man and Wasp might be like Easter egg heaven for the fucking next fucking 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Ant-Man and Wasp was the only actual canonical movie to take place like chronologically between Avengers 3 and Avengers 4. So that has to have some type of importance. Captain Marvel, I'm sure it's going to be important to Avengers 4. Like, but since it takes place in the 90s, it doesn't have to deal with the repercussions of 3.
Infinity War comes out in 3
weeks. Oh, that shit's going to take place in the 90s?
Yeah. Wait, real quick. I'm actually more excited for Captain Marvel than...
Showing up.
Ant-Man and the Avengers 4, because it takes place in the 90s. It features young Samuel L. Jackson with both eyes.
And
it has Phil Coulson from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, sir.
Darnell's hating.
Speak on the Darnell.
He's hating.
Yes,
it
sir.
It also has
Deadpool has Terry Crews.
So they're going to make him young?
Yeah, but Deadpool has Terry Crews.
He looks the same.
It also has Ronan. So it's basically the beginning of S.H.I.E.L.D.
All right, I want to hear more of these questions.
All right, here's an April Fool's question, as I like to call it. Jacob Noel Cooper asks, which movie was better, Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern or Elektra?
Green Lantern.
Elektra.
Oh, what?
Elektra.
Really?
Hold on.
Green Lantern was flawed, but it was fun at times?
No, Green Lantern, that joint wasn't as trash as people say it
was.
The bad guy was butt.
The costume was butt. The story was butt.
It wasn't as bad as
Angela
people say.
Angela Wilder was butt. It was not like Angela Bassett.
Hated Sinestro's character.
I really hated
Sinestro.
What else?
All right. Depressio. I don't know how to pronounce this. Would you rather Peter keep the Iron Spider until Homecoming sequel or keep it until the end of Avengers and gets his own suit for Homecoming sequel?
Yeah, let's go with
B. Keep the suit.
You want him to keep the suit?
Keep the guy.
Yeah, keep the suit
for
four.
And then get a new one.
Yeah, keep the suit and then Homecoming.
Speaking of which, they're going to drop the release date for the Spider-Man video game tomorrow.
Shit with the white spider on him looks phenomenal.
Did not know that.
Yeah, I just found that out today.
I'm ready for that. Fucking incredible.
Kane Nyman, who really does have the Soul Stone? I think this is
Adam Warlock.
That's a good question.
Adam Warlock.
Just keep him in the cocoon. No. It's him.
But realistically,
I think it actually is
in Wakanda because is the war going to be in Wakanda?
Because they take Vision over there and hide him.
And they know Vision still has the stone at that point.
They know
because Shuri separates it from him.
Well, because here's the thing. The time that Thanos actually invaded Wakanda is after Wakanda went to war with Atlantis and Namor. And Namor actually betrays them and says, the Infinity Gems are in Wakanda. So that's when Thanos goes to invade. We haven't been introduced to Namor.
Two gems on the globe.
Yeah, we've seen two gems.
And it's power
the Cosmic Cube, which we know Loki's going to be a bitch and just hand over to him.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the Aether, because he goes to go
You saving your life, you a bitch?
No, not the Aether. It's the power.
No,
it's the purple one.
He goes to the collector.
It's purple and blue.
It's purple and blue.
It's purple and blue?
Yeah,
purple
and blue.
So that means that he destroys Xandar.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but he goes to see the collector literally in those trailers, and you see him lay on the ground, and he is the Aether.
But remember, that's all they're showing you.
Right.
They could have edited that out.
Yeah, you're right.
I think we've only seen one of the Black Order's arms.
I'm telling you, he's holding his new hammer in his hand, but they just CGI'd that.
It's the axe.
Like
it's not even the hammer.
One of the Black Order might actually have one of the Infinity Stones to get other Infinity Stones, the Reality Gem or something like that.
Right.
And plus, I don't trust Marvel anymore.
No.
Ever since Thor lost his eye.
Complete
52 fake out.
Yeah. I don't trust him anymore.
All right, here's one more. The Bearded Con Man asks, in Infinity War, what unexpected team-up do you want to see the most? For example, mine is Korg and Baku.
Korg and Baku.
That's what he wrote. What the hell you
I
want to
see Korg.
That sure as hell wasn't mine.
I just want to see Korg
Shuri,
and
Shuri, Bruce Banner, and Tony Stark together. Those three minds.
Phil Coulson and literally anyone.
Damn, what's up with this whack ass nigga?
First of all, he's the best.
That's not how we're ending the show. No, we're not ending it on that. I'm gonna find
Shuri,
another question.
Shuri Banner and Stark. I need those minds together.
I'd rather see Phil Collins than this motherfucker.
Yeah, bro.
AJ, last question then. Updates in cinema 2.0. Which game are you most excited for? God of War or Spider-Man?
Spider-Man. God of War, it doesn't look bad, but
God of War looks slower. Yep. I know it's a different storyline and a different mythology, but normally with a God of War game, you want to have that high energy that the other six games had. This doesn't have it. Spider-Man does.
I want to play Detroit Becomes Human.
Detroit Becomes Human.
That is going to be awesome.
Yo, that game's going to be fucking fire. Have you played the other two games they made?
No.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah,
Party
we'll talk
nerd.
After the show.
It's glad to be back, but before we go, Darnell, you will get on this mic or what?
Listen.
Holy shit,
you guys,
Darnell's
if
here.
If you haven't already, we just dropped our newest acapella cartoon medley. Make sure you go on the Party Nerds YouTube. Check it out. We do Simpsons. We do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. As a matter of fact, we're going to drop it right now. You guys are going to be the first to hear it. Party, you guys did a great job, guys.
Yeah.
You all got to clap for us. We good.
Shut up, baby. I know it.
All right, Party Nerds.
We out.
Later. Ba-da-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-
Creature, turtle power. They're the world's most fearsome fighting team.
They're really hip.
They're heroes in a half shell and a dream.
Hey, get a grip.
When the evil shredder attacks, these turtle boys won't cut them no slack. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Heroes in a half shell. Turtle power.
Are you ready, guys?
Aye, aye, Captain.
I can't hear you.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Whoa. Whoa. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Half covered in yellow, where forest is his?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Nautical nonsense, be something you wish.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
They travel the deck and flop like a fish.
SpongeBob.
Are you ready?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
His name is SpongeBob. He is a square.
With a pineapple house
in the bottom of the sea. Scooby Dooby Doo, where are you? We've got some work to do now. Scooby Dooby Doo, where are you? We need some help.
It seems today that all we see is violence in movies and sex on TV.
But we're them good old-fashioned values. Yeah.
On which we used to rely. Lucky has a family guy. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us
laugh and cry.
He's a family. He's a wonderful family man.